Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead and guide us today. I pray, Father, as we read your holy word, that you would illuminate your word to us. And Lord, that your word would continue to go very deep in our hearts and just open us up, Lord. Expose things in our lives that need to be dealt with and surrendered. And Lord, whatever lies that we may be believing, Lord, that you would just expose them, and Lord, that you would replace them, those lies, with your truth. Lord, I pray that our minds be focused on you more and more each day, not just Sunday, but Lord, every day, that we would be more focused on you and to be dependent on your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth, to be used by you for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name. So sometimes we feel a little unsure in our spiritual position with the Lord while we read the book of Romans. I think sometimes we read the book of Romans, we're excited, we know the book of Romans, but when we go verse by verse and study it verse by verse, you cannot omit certain scriptures. You cannot say, I'm going to read only Romans 1, chapter 1, 2, and 3, and I'm going to skip, chapter 7, or I'm not going to, you can't skip certain verses or certain chapters. Because if you don't go verse by verse, it's easy to skip through the hard ones. Right? Sometimes we just like to hear all the warm, fuzzy things. But sometimes the reality is we need to hear the hardcore truth. Right? We can't sugarcoat things at times. And so, as we read through the book of, we've been going through Romans, and when we start reading the book of Romans, it points out that there's wrath of God for the unbelievers. And we are also reminded that there's no one righteous, that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:18, it talks about that we all have fallen short. We all have sinned. And the only person who has never sinned was Jesus Christ. Jesus was perfect in every way. But going through the first seven chapters, it sets us up for the great truth of the gospel, the good news. We all need the good news. We prayed and we sung today. We want to speak Jesus over every heart, to every person that we know that is not a believer. But they also need to hear the truth. And only the truth that is not compromised, or we need to share the truth without compromise. We cannot water it down. Just like we dilute something. If you dilute it enough, it doesn't have no effect. So we can't dilute the word of God. But we need to say it in truth. We need to say it in love. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to soften those people's hearts so they'll be able to receive the word. And God, even before we even go, he's already preparing those people's hearts. Through the book of Romans, God shows us his grace, his unmerited love for us. It's clear that Paul wants that, he wants the believer to feel secure in Christ. Do you feel secure in Christ today? Do you feel safe? No matter what struggles you go through, no matter the circumstances you encounter, is your hope in Christ? Paul wants the believer to be filled with hope because there's only security found in Christ. So, I'm going to read in Romans 7:25. It says, you remember when Paul said, I'm not going to say a verse, I'm not going to go line by line, I kind of summed it up. But he said, in my mind I want to please God, but there is nothing in me that makes me want to do the opposite. You gotta hear what he's saying. A lot of times people speak, I want to do this, I want to do that. And he says again, to which I do what I do not want to do. Notice I. And then he goes, every single day, you know, notice when we get up every single day, we say, Lord, I really want to surrender my life to you. I really want to be used by you today. And sometimes we will try to do it in our own strength. Have you ever done that? So we set a goal, we have desires to please God. Then as we go through the day, sometimes we fall short. And sometimes we beat ourselves up. I can't believe I blew it like that. I can't believe I did that. And sometimes you'll say, I never will do that. I've learned that I will never do that. But sometimes then I do this that thing. I'm like, what did I do that for? So perhaps you experience that this week. I do the things I don't want to do, right? There's a battle. We were talking about there's a battle in us. The old nature, it's like, which one do you want to feed the most? Which nature do you want to feed the most? Do you want to feed the old nature continuously in your old sinful old habits? Or do you want to feed the spiritual man by reading God's word, by meditating on the word of God, by spending time in praying and seeking God's direction and to be led by the Holy Spirit? God gives you a choice. Which one do you want to feed? So I do what I want to do. I want to do what God's will is. He gives you that desire because you became a child of God. Like he puts that desire in your heart, in your soul now. You, the new man wants to live a life that honors our Father. He wants us, he gives us that desire. You know, in Romans 7, it's Paul's experience that he's speaking to the believer, what he experienced when he was trying to do things in his own flesh, in his own desires. I believe Romans 7 is simply one stage, one part of a normal believer's experience. Just one facet, right? It's not the life of a believer to be doing the opposite and rebelling against God. God doesn't want us to be rebellious. He wants us to trust him. To lay aside every care, every worry, every fear. So you can be honest. Sometimes you have to be honest, brutally honest. The struggles that we have, God wants to deal with those struggles. Paul is just being honest, even though he was an apostle, he felt a struggle between the desire to please God and to pull his old nature, and a pull of his old nature to walk in the old way. I do not want to do these things, but yet I do them. There's always a struggle. In verse 24, he says, "Oh, a wretched man that I am, I am. Who could really save me but Christ alone? Only Jesus can save you and to redeem you. And as we surrender to him, and not to try and do it ourselves, when we try doing it ourselves, we will just fail. We struggle in many different ways. For instance, we struggle between what we know and what we actually do. We also struggle between our better desires and our lesser desires. We struggle between what we know God wants us to do and to what God rather us to do. Those struggles are real. And some people will say, well, Paul, that was before his conversion. But it wasn't. He was being brutally honest and sharing his walk with other believers, saying, you know what, I still struggle. Even though I have wrote many epistles and my relationship with the Lord is still he utterly depends on it. But when I walk in my flesh and I do the things I want to do, rather than walk in the Spirit to please God, there's a battle. There's always going to be a battle until the Lord takes us home, when we get caught up in the air to meet Him. Then we are transformed and changed forever. But the day till we, but we, as we continue to walk this life, we are dying to self. Not to glorify the old nature, but to die to that old nature. Does that make sense? There's still going to be a struggle. And sometimes Christians say, well, as a Christian, you don't struggle. So I don't know what they're on, but you have to be careful to who you listen to. Because there is a struggle. The Word of God says you will have struggles. You need to put off the old nature and put on the new nature. It's a choice. Do I really want to die to the old nature? Do I really want to live in the new nature? Do I want to walk in the freedom of Christ? Lord, change my desires. And I believe as we read the Word of God and we meditate on the Word of God, He renews our mind, He changes our perspectives, He changes how we think. If we surrender to Him, if we yield to Him, we could pray this prayer, and but yet then we go home and just watch TV. Or go home and just do whatever else. But are we spending time with Him and desiring to know Him so that we are being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ? And that's a struggle. Our flesh likes to do the own thing. Our flesh probably wants to be on the beach, sun tanning. Probably not. Get burnt. I think Paul struggled. If Paul struggled, we will struggle. If Paul had been pulled in many of his different ways, I think when we actually hear, you know, we look up to somebody who's been a believer for a long time, and you hear about their struggles that they go through, how does that make you feel? It's like, oh, they struggle too. Sometimes we put people on a different pedestal and say, oh, these people don't struggle. Look at them. They're super Christians. They're not so different. We all go through different battles. But are we open and honest and brutal with one another to share? And even ask people for prayer? In Romans 7, we see what happens when we try to live the believer's life in our own strength. From verse 15 to about 22, verse 22 of Romans 7, Paul uses 19 pronouns, personal pronouns. I, me, I, right? 19 times he says, he shows you that he's doing it in his own strength, that he's trying to do it himself. So it really sets up. So sometimes people come to and they get upset because they don't go well for themselves. Have you ever got upset for how your life as a believer is going? Perhaps you get upset because you have difficulties in your relationships. Maybe financial difficulties, personal difficulties, emotional difficulties, marital difficulties, problems in different areas of life. These people get discouraged. They get disillusioned. They get mad and angry at God. They cry out to God, God, why does I go through all this stuff? Why am I going through all this anguish? Why do I have this and this and that and that? Right? And I thought things were supposed to be better, not to begin worse. But I think as God reveals things in our lives, and he reveals where we're sometimes dependent more on ourselves than him, right? He exposes those things. Usually there's nothing wrong with you if you're going through a period of struggle. it's natural. It's the Holy Spirit revealing things in your life that he's trying to point out. So we go to the Lord and surrender, trust, and rely on him for our strength. So the Word of God brings true freedom to lives that have been dominated by sin, rebellion, and separation from God. So the Word of God brings freedom to those areas. The Bible reveals the character of God, reveals the love of God, the passion of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, the holiness of God, reveals the desire of a holy God. He desires people. He doesn't want people to be separated from him any longer. He desires people to come to salvation, to receive redemption, justification, sanctification, restoration, transformation, freedom, renewed assurance of the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, are you assured? And to put your faith and reliance in Christ alone as your Lord and Savior. So as we move into Romans 8, things get better. Sometimes you have to hear the bad before you're able to really appreciate the good news. I think if we hear all nothing but good news, then we don't really start to appreciate it. Because then when we start really hearing and appreciate the truth of the gospel, then we realize, man, Lord, I knew I was a wretched soul. Lord, I know I was hell-bound. And I couldn't save myself. And I appreciate, Lord, how you're transforming my life as I surrender to you. So as we move into Romans 8, this should be exciting for the believer. Are you excited? We're all quiet. You know, the victory is found in Jesus Christ. That's why we should be excited. It's not found in you. It's not found in the person beside you. It's not it's not found in your spouse. It's found in Christ. So Romans 8 is uniquely the chapter of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans 8 approximately 19 times. So I think it's about the Holy Spirit. In Romans 7, in that, there's no talk about the Holy Spirit. So you look at what he was saying, it's all about himself. He spoke. And then now we go to Romans 8, it's all about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit empowers you. How the Holy Spirit enables you to live a life as a true believer in Christ. You know, in Romans 8, it's about a chapter of a spiritual victory, eternal security that we have in Christ. So we will see the whole of the believer's life in one chapter, verse 1, 30 and 33, we have justification. Verses 2 to 17, we have sanctification. And in verses 18 to 39, we have glorification. Speaks the life of a believer. How he sanctifies us, how he justifies us. Justification, we're justified by Christ. We're sanctified by Christ. And we get glorification because of Christ. So as we learn and trust the Holy Spirit to allow him to work in our lives and not to struggle in our own flesh, because when we do that, then we learn to be frustrated, we get disappointed, discouraged, we get angry, bitter, resentful. I'm not going to go on. Right? When we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, where we don't want to yield, we will get frustrated. We will become bitter and resentful. But as we trust the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, I'm really having difficulty in this. Help me to surrender. So we're going to read Romans 8, 1 to 4. I have it as the New King James. I don't know, maybe you guys want to read it too. Maybe sometimes, yeah, we can read it together. Yeah. There. No, for now, no nation. Oh, to who are in Christ Jesus. Back up to the verse. Let's do it again. So, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments, it's talking about the Spirit. Holy Spirit. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what, when we say no, what does, so when we have, when we talk about no condemnation, what it does not mean though, right, what it does not mean, now we, doesn't say that we would not go and make mistakes, right, when it says, There's now no condemnation. It's not saying you have to understand what he's meaning by that. So we're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to have failures. We're still going to fall short. We still fight with temptation, and we're still going to lose sometimes. But it also does not say that there are no consequences. So when we say there's no condemnation, right, when we sin, we're not going to be condemned, right? But every believer who sins can suffer consequences of his or her sin. We're not going to be condemned by when we fall in sin, but there's still going to be consequences to our sin. Does that make sense? So if you sin, you know you're going to be condemned by God. But there's still going to be consequences of your sin, of your actions. Right? Does that make sense? So the word condemnation is a strong word for judgment. While there are certainly will be a day coming when every believer will give an account for his life, that's found in Romans 14:12. That we will all face the judgment of the seat of Christ. We will all give an account. So the Bible calls it judgment seat of Christ. We will all give an account. But we're not going to be judged like how the world is judged. This place that we are aware will be, when we get to the judgment seat, we're going to be rewarded. Or rewards going to be taken from us by how we lived and how we what we did and what we did not do. However, we are believers. We will never stand in judgment like the rest of the world. We will never be punished for our sins. Yet there is consequences for our sins. So what happens when we sin? Can I just live? So sometimes people say, well, now I'm under grace. I can just do however I want. Does it give you a license to sin? No. We don't. When you sin, we still need to repent. and confess our sins. It does not give you the license to sin. Somebody, you know, talked about, do not use God's grace in vain. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6:1. Talks about, do not use God's grace in vain. So we don't want to live like the old way. We still want to live in a way that honors our Father. So God doesn't punish a believer or a child of God. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Have you been convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit? And how do we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we say, well, that's the devil. Sometimes we'll say, well, that's totally not right. We kind of harden our heart. If you do enough sin, if you do the same as a believer, if you do the same sin, say one particular sin, whatever, and you do it and you repent, and they start doing it again, and you ask again and again and again and again, do you think you'll be less or more yielding to the Holy Spirit? Less. There's an effect when we sin continuously in that one area, because then we get more complacent to it. We get hardened by it. We overlook it. We try to justify it why continually to walk in that particular sin rather than repenting and surrendering it and doing a 180 and walk away from it. It's very hard. But the Holy Spirit is like saying, give that up. It's not good for you. That is feeding your flesh. I hope that makes sense. We ought to keep short accounts with our Father and with others. So we still need to repent and still need to confess our sins to one another. 1 John 1:9, what does 1 John 1:9 say? Yeah. And then also, I think verse 10 says, if we say we do not sin, we make him out to be a liar. And that the word of God is not in us. Right? So, as a believer, we still do sin. We still do fall short. But we still need to repent and confess our sins to God. And to be right with him. Right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he doesn't condemn us. He convicts us of sin. There's a difference. That's why in Romans 8:1 it says there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ. There's no judgment, but there's conviction. The difference. I think once we start understanding there's a difference of the conviction of the Holy Spirit and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be led of the Holy Spirit, and to walk away from the other stuff that entangles us, the sin that so easily entangles us. Hebrews 12:1, right? Throw off every sin that so easily entangles you. Is there sin that entangles you even today that you're not throwing off? There's a lot of yielding and surrendering to the Holy Spirit. It's yielding to our Father. Yielding to the Lord. And sometimes we, like it said in Romans 7, there's about I. I want to do this. I do what I want to do. But, you know, I do what I do. But we don't want to be that way. What's Hebrews 8:12 say? Have that up here. Romans 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to those to their unrighteousness and their sins and the lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. So when we confess our sins to the Father, we ask God for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Lord, I repent and I confess whatever sin it is. And God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, and I remember them no more. That's why there's no condemnation. That's why we keep short accounts. When I sin, I repent. That's why there's no condemnation, because we are repenting and confessing. We fall short. We miss the mark. But it doesn't still give us the license to sin, but we will fall short until the day we are caught up with the Lord. God chooses not to remember our sins any longer, so he doesn't hold that account against you. Satan likes to hold things against you. So which voice do you want to listen to? Do you want to listen to a loving and caring father that says, you know what, if you confess your sins, because you're a child of mine, I'm going to not remember, I don't forget them. I'm not some person that with a memory that just, oh, I forget. But he's choosing to forgive you. He's choosing to forget that sin, not to hold it against you because of your relationship with the Father, because of Jesus. Does that make sense? Jesus paid the price of your sin. That's why there's no condemnation against a child of God. Therefore, God the Father will not condemn you for that. Jesus paid for sin fully on the cross. His blood cleanses us and purifies us. Our punishment is gone. Isn't that great news? There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So who do we belong to? I don't know who I belong to. If you belong to Christ, you have no more condemnation against you. You cannot be condemned. The devil will try to, but God won't. God will convict you of sin to deal with your sin. He wants your heart to be transformed. He wants your mind to be renewed. He wants you to walk more and more like this, like Jesus. And in order to walk and to yield and to be surrendered, we ought to be in the Word of God and reading and meditating on it and praying and asking the Holy Spirit to help us in every aspect of our life. I think it's liberating. This is like when you look at it, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables you to live a life that God wants you to live. He empowers you, that it's not you doing it. It's like, I want to be surrendered to you, Lord. I want to be surrendered to your Holy Spirit, who enables me to put off the old nature. That's why it's important to read the Word of God, to be in the Word of God, to spend time with Him, so that your old flesh is not being built up, but the new man is being built up, being strengthened by the Word of God. It's like if you have a Ferrari, are you going to run, I don't know, premium fuel in it, or are you going to run farm fuel in it? Farm fuel has a low octane in it, so your car's not going to run that well. Right? But not the best fuel mileage. I had a quad that worked. It had farm fuel and it didn't work the greatest. I also used it in my boat too, but because it was cheaper. But it's, what are we feeling? Do you not know that your body is the temple of God? So, since we are the children of God, now we belong to God, that your life is no longer your life. That's a hard one, isn't it? like, what do you mean my life's not my life? Precisely that. Your life now belongs to Christ. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God? So the things that we feel pleasure about is actually sinning against God. Forgive me, Lord, for rebellion. Lord, I confess my rebellion, thinking that I still belong to myself when I truly belong to you because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. That's why we don't. That's why we don't have any condemnation against us. We have a new address. Do we like to live in the old address, or do we like want to live in the new address? Like, we have a new position in Christ Jesus. Now you are in Jesus Christ. You know, I did a search. It says the phrases that you hear, the phrase, in Christ, now in Christ Jesus, you know, now in Christ Jesus, I think it's 87 times it's in the New Testament. Now in Christ Jesus is 87 times in the New Testament about the believer. Other phrases, in him, in whom, you are in Christ, there's over 100 Bible verses. So it really makes us wonder, it's like, why do I believe the lies, but instead of believing who I am now, that I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. These should be encouraging. It's like, God wants to transform your life. He wants to renew your mind. He wants you to walk in a life that he could be. He has a plan and a purpose for you. We sung that today. It's like, he knew you before you were created. He has a plan and purpose. He wants us to serve him wholeheartedly, to love him and adore him. That's why we were created. Serve a loving, a holy, righteous God. We're to be in a communion with him, koinonia with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I think I have that, don't we? So 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So the Holy Spirit is in you. Right? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. So the life that I live, do I honor God with my life? Do I live in a way of sacrificial love and admiration for him every day? Do I live my life every single day as unto Christ? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we fail. But when we fail, do we live in self-pity, get bitter, resentful, and high? Or do we go to the Father and repent of our falling and sinning against him? I'm not going to say a mistake, because the mistake, when people say I make a mistake, you're undermining the true meaning of you actually sin. You actually fell short and missed the mark. You sin. Not a mistake, you sin. So when we sin, do we repent? Do I get right with God? Do I get right with others? We are in Christ Jesus. We are his. We have been sealed with his Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. You know, Jesus' name is Yeshua. It means salvation. When you shout Yeshua, you're reminding that he's your salvation. The gospel of your salvation, Jesus. The word of God became flesh. Jesus is the word of God. In whom also have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So So now you've been marked and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that when he comes, you get caught up. So it's you belong to him. You belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. If you don't, if you've never been sealed with the, if you never surrender your life to Christ, repented, confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and your Savior, then you won't be going. You're not sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his mark. The Holy Spirit also shows you that even you're a child of God. Hopefully that makes sense. So our position is now in Christ. Our address is then found in Christ. We're no longer identified as the old person. But so many times you're like, man, I used to be this way. I can remember when I do this and do that. You know, you always say, reminisce about your past. Why do we do that? Why don't we just reminisce? It's like, look at how God has changed my life. Look at how God has changed and transformed my life. I remember the day I was born in Christ and to now where I'm in with Christ. I see the transformation of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I used to be this way and God set me free. Why don't we talk about more about what he has done in our life rather than what our old life was about? Does that make sense? Too many times we glorify our old nature more than who we are in Christ. If we are reminding ourselves who we are in Christ, will we not certainly more of the truth of the gospel? Of who we truly are? So if you catch yourself reminiscing about the past, maybe your wife can give you a kick or an elbow, a little tap. But let's not reminisce about the past. Let's speak about who Jesus is. I speak Jesus over my friends. I speak Jesus over myself. Of what the Word of God has done in my life. How it has transformed my life. How it has renewed my life. How I now have life. That I have I'm no longer under condemnation. That I'm actually I'm a child of God. I think that'd be a good challenge to speak. How do you see? Maybe write down this week, the day that you were born again to now, what God has done in your life. Could you imagine if we all took 5-10 minutes to write down in a journal and share that maybe next week? Oh, that'd be a good one, wouldn't it? I'm going to do that. Yeah, let's do that. I just thought of that. Oh, not me. But anyway, let's do that. Watch this. Every time I ask somebody to do that, then more people don't show up to church. But don't you think that would be encouraging? The day that you got saved to now where you're at with Christ, and you write down how God has transformed your life, even if it's only been a year, if it's been 10 years, 15 years, how has God transformed your life to this time? Wouldn't that just speak? What would that speak of? His mercy? The power of the Holy Spirit working in your life? How he transformed your life? I think it's a good reminder of what he's doing in your life. Then we'll stop looking about what I am doing or the issues that I'm having. But really look at who our strength is rather than looking at our situation. We all go through situations. And every time I've been through really tough situations, I look at more at Christ. Because he's the only one that gives me the strength to go through what I'm facing. Truly, that's the only way. when you start looking at your situation, how bad you think you have it, how go on and on and on about how bad you think you have it, then you go back into that rut. Rather than looking at who is your strength and who is the power, how the Holy Spirit enables you to live a life that honors God. So we preach Jesus, period. Because you're in Christ, there's now no condemnation. So I know I didn't get Romans 2 or 3 or 4, but anyway. I think, I don't know, maybe you have a couple of testimonies next week of sharing what Christ has done in your life. You know, just point form. Share what you feel like you want to share. Just like, this is what happened. This is where I've been walking. Right? So, yeah. I'm excited about that. Please don't run away. So, Father, we thank you for your... Thank you, Lord, that as we are in you, Lord Jesus, Lord, we are no longer our old. We shouldn't identify as our old nature anymore, Lord, but help us to recognize who we are now in you because of your sacrifice, because of all that you are doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the transformation of our hearts, our minds, of who we are in you. We thank you, Lord, that for sealing us with the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us, who enables us, who empowers us to live a life that is honoring to you. Lord, I pray that we would surrender more so to you as you lead. And Lord, even as we pray that, Lord, in Psalm 139, it says, you know, search my heart, O Lord. Know if there's any deceitful or anything, things in my life that need to be dealt with, Lord. I pray that we would surrender and allow you to search our hearts and not to be afraid of you bringing healing and restoration to areas where there's been hurts and pains. But Lord, we want to bring that you would bring healing and restoration, that you would break those chains of bondage, Father, that brings us, pulls us away from you. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen us. And Lord, that even this week that we would have a hunger and a thirst to read your word, to meditate on your word, to even write down the things that you are doing in our life and how you're turning our eyes more back onto you rather than looking to our issues. Lord, we want to give you the glory. We want to give you the praise. We ask this in Jesus' name.
So we're just going to do a